Good afternoon, everyone. I called this meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. It is 3:30 p.m. here on Wednesday, February 8th. We are in the Belts Committee Room of the State Capitol in Juneau. I'm going to ask everyone to please ensure that their cell phones are muted. With us today is Vice Chair President Stevens, Senator Keel, Senator Bjorkman, Senator Gray Jackson, and myself, Senator Tobin. Please let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Thanks to Lisa and to Mary Gwynn today for holding down the fort. I do want to let folks know that our committee aide is out of the office. However, he is online, and we have a temporary committee aide here, so please give him some grace or just call in at ease if something doesn't go according to plan. Today, we will be holding the first hearing of Senator Kawasaki's Senate Bill 14. This is to implement a temporary retirement incentive program for public employees in the state of Alaska. This bill will also allow school districts to rehire retired educators through a 12-month contract. After that, we'll be hearing Senate Bill 52, which is to increase the base student allocation in Alaska by $1,000, and we'll be taking public testimony on this bill. It is my intent to close public testimony for SB 52 today. If you are unable to testify, I encourage you to send your written comments to senate.education@akleg.gov. Again, that is senate.education@akleg.gov. We will take testimony all the way up until when we have to adjourn. But if you are unable to get your comments in, please consider emailing them to senate.education@akleg.gov. All right, Senator Kawasaki, would you please join us here on the dais and introduce your staff and your bill?
Good afternoon. For the record, Senator Scott Kawasaki representing Fairbanks. And with me is
through the chair and committee, Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Kawasaki.
Great. Just wanted to start by saying thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Education Committee. I know you have a very busy schedule and have been working really diligently on education issues, of which this is one of them. Senate Bill 14 would create a voluntary retirement incentive program for public employees and teachers. I'll just say that a couple things. We are available for questions. There's also a person from Retirement and Benefits who will be here today. I think she might be online, Melinda Voigt, as well as Doug Wolliver, who has been asked to comment on the Alaska court system and its retirement incentive program and some of the results. With that, Senate Bill 14 would create a statewide voluntary early retirement program for public employees of the state to incentivize those vacating long-held higher-paid positions to perhaps take an early retirement, leaving some of the entry-level folks that are paid less to sort of advance. It would apply to both the school district, public employees within state service, including the University of Alaska. A retirement incentive program is a management tool that could be offered to incentivize those employees to retire early if they are currently within 3 years of their normal retirement date. Senate Bill 14 also has provisions including a retire rehire provision, which many of you are familiar with, specifically for teachers, so that they can transition newly hired and some of the early workforce as mentors. Let's see. A retirement incentive program is an option that would exist under every tier of state employees. It would reduce, I'm reading something wrong here. Well, let me just say that a retirement incentive program is not just for public employees. It's actually quite useful as a tool to other employees in the private sector. I mentioned that Doug Wolliver, the admin director from the court system, will talk about their voluntary retirement incentive program that they implemented some years ago, and that it was able to save considerable amounts of money over a few years with some of those employees. The last retirement incentive program was implemented in 1989. It showed a savings to the state of roughly $24 million. across 1,700 positions. The University of Alaska identified 784 employees who would be eligible, of which 377 participated. The University of Alaska reported $17.8 million in savings resulting from those early retirements. Actual savings would, of course, be unknown, but there I know there is a fiscal net, and there might be some questions about the fiscal net today. There was last retirement incentive program proposal in 1996. It was estimated by legislative finance to save $41 million. And as I mentioned before, in 2016, the judicial branch held its own independent retirement incentive program that saved considerably over several positions. And there is somebody to testify to that. I have another hearing in Senate Resources Committee. So the technical parts of the bill, including the sectional analysis and maybe other details, my co-worker, Joe Hayes, will speak to you. So I guess, are there any questions for me at this time?
Any questions for the committee? Well, thank you, and good luck on your next committee. Mr. Hayes, if you could please put yourself on the record and possibly walk us through a sectional.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Kawasaki, and I will go through the sectional analysis for Senate Bill 14. So the first section of the legislation defines the purpose and intent of the legislation. Section 2, page 2, line 5 to 10, is amended to update the statutes under which members who participate in the retirement plan and are covered in the plan are retired from AS 1425-110A through AS 1425-110. Section 3, page 2, line 11 to 17, is amended by adding a new subsection, AS 1420-136F-2, to specify that CDEI of this section does not apply to the rehire of members who is paid by the hour to mentor teachers who have taught for fewer than 4 years. CDE 1 requires, in other circumstances, that the school district describe a shortage before rehiring retired members, publicly advertise the position, make contract no longer than 12 months, and provide the administrator with related documentation. Section 4, page 2, lines 18 to 27, is amended to update the statute under which members are retired from AS 1425-110A to AS 1425-110. Section 5, lines, page 2, lines 28 to 31, to page 3, lines 1 through 4, is amended to update the statutes under which members retire to specify with the subsection which allows for retired and reemployed members to receive group health plan coverage. It does not apply to retired members who are rehired and paid by the hour to mentor teachers who have taught for fewer than 4 years. Section 6, page 3, lines 17 to 13, is amended to clarify that each employer shall contribute to the retirement system 12.56% of all base salaries paid to active and retired members who are eligible to receive group health plan coverage, which does not include retired members who are rehired and paid by the hour to mentor teachers. Section 7, page 3 to 6, lines 15 to 24, defines who are eligible to use the retirement incentive program under this legislation. Employers may limit the program to specific components, job classifications, geographic locations, or a combination of the three. Section 8, pages 6 to 7, lines 25 to 12, requires interested eligible state employees must be employed for at least 12 months prior to application to be approved for the retirement incentive. Prohibits executive branch employees from participating in the program. Section 9, page 7, line 15 to 21, authorizes certain University of Alaska employees who are members of PERS or TERS may be participate in the RIP under the appropriate requirements for the defined benefits retirement program established under this bill. Section 10, page 7, 8, lines 25 to 2, is amended to give specific benefits, cannot be enacted under this bill unless the agreement is executed by the administrator that authorizes the employee to participate in the program. It allows the legislature to change the program as it relates to employees for whom an agreement has not been executed. Section 11, page 8, lines 5 to 10, is amended to add a new subsection which allows the commissioner to adopt regulations to implement and interpret the act. Section 12, page 8, pages 8 to 9, lines 13 to line 12, provides definitions of administrator, employer, OMB, PERS, TERS, public organization, and state agencies for the purpose of the act and this bill. Sections 13 through section 18, pages 8 to 12, is amended to update reference section numbers. Section 19, page 12, lines 15 and 16, is amended to say sections 1 through 18 of the Act applies to contracts entered on or after the effective date of the legislation. Section 20, page 12, line 17, is amended to specify that the only sections 1 and 7 through 17 are repealed on July 1st, 2026. The teacher mentoring provision remains in effect. And section 21, page 12, line 18, provides an immediate effective date under AS10-07C.
Thank you. And I just want to note that Senator Schauer has joined us, so welcome. Are there any questions from the committee? Yes, Senator Ray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the sectional analysis. Is there any way in this bill that I co-sponsored where it allows municipalities to do the same? Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the Chair, Senator Gray Jackson, municipalities, as long as the employee is a public employee, public sector employee, will be eligible for this program.
Yes. Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Senator President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, as a senior professor, it sort of worries me that we're getting rid of all the senior professors in order to hire people who don't know the job. Maybe I'm absolutely wrong there. But what is the goal here, Joe? Is the goal to save money, or is the goal to get the best teachers in front of our students?
Due to Chair, President Stevens, the goal here was, originally when the bill was enacted, it was to, the governor had implemented a budgets that were forcing organizations to terminate folks, and generally the folks who were leaving were the youngest, newest folks. So the bill initially was to give agencies another tool in a toolbox to give folks who are close to a retirement age the opportunity to retire early. So it would be a win-win. Those folks would be able to leave, and then newer, younger folks would be able to stay and continue on with their work cycle. So right now, again, this is a tool in a tool shed. And no agency, no municipality, no university, no one has to use this. This is just an opportunity to continue forward and maintain the younger folks and give the folks who have been an opportunity to maybe retire early if they so choose.
And maybe a follow-up. So, sure. Do you see this as an opportunity for people to retire early, to receive retirement benefits, and then go back to teaching? And is that a possibility under this program?
Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, this was a provision that was added last year in a committee by the previous Labor and Commerce Chairperson as a way, as a discussion with the previous president to make an incentive for teachers retiring to come back and mentor younger teachers. And so it wouldn't be a double dip situation, but they were able to come back and mentor. So we like that provision in the bill. So the senator decided to keep it.
Thank you, Joe.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So right now, depending on what tier you are, determines how soon you can retire. So how would this work? I hope that my question is clear. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, through the Chair, Senator Gray Jackson, the way this works, every tier has an ability for employees to retire early. If you are able to pay the extra percentage that you have to pay. So the bill only works if for folks who are 50 years of age, you have to be an employee for up to 17 years, and then you can start paying for 3 years. So as long as the employee is at the 17-year point at 50 years of age, and that was set up because of the actuarial situation. So 17 years, 50 years of age, they can buy in at X percent to get that retirement provision.
Thank you.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hayes, the senator offered you for technical questions. So there's a clause in here that says the administrator can withdraw approval. The PERS or TERS administrator can withdraw approval of a RIP if there's an actuarial harm to the fund. I didn't see that in the initial criteria for approving a RIP. Did I miss that in the bill?
Due to Chair, Senator Keel, this is an additional tool in the toolbox. So a division, a department, an agency will have to decide if X amount of their employees would be eligible for this. The division or department or agency decides who will and will not be able to apply for this. So I do believe that answers the question, because if the agency thinks maybe the deputy director, if the position is too valuable for that person to retire, then that person would not be allowed to retire. But then maybe the senior member would be able to retire, but you couldn't be like an executive branch employee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I might follow up offline on that specific question. If I might shift to another question. In the bill, the PERS and TERS system administrators, the Division of Retirement Benefits, approves these RIPs, these retirement incentive programs for individual. Let's stick with school districts because we're in education, for individual school districts. And there's a couple of things lined out that they consider. Some of those seem like things it would be tough for the head of the state's Division of Retirement Benefits to figure out for a school district, like whether there's a reasonable chance they can fill the positions or they're going to be stuck, right? Can you tell us how you envision somebody sitting in the state office building figuring out whether a school district won't be able to fill those jobs?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. So before it gets to the state level, the assumption is the school district, working with their school boards, would decide what positions are capable of achieving the being able to retire early. And then the school district, in conjunction with their school board, would then decide if they'll have provisions in place to be able to hire someone to fill that position. So that decision is done at the local level, and then it's carried forward to the state level to give final approval.
So. Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So could you just tell us the reception this bill is getting from school districts and the University of Alaska?
Due to Chair, Senator Stevens, the University of Alaska has not said anything to us yet. Last year, they didn't say anything. They haven't said anything this year. Districts have been okay. Some districts are really happy because it gives them another tool, and some districts are worried that folks will retire that they do not want to retire. So I try to explain that they control the mechanism. So if they choose not to allow the mechanism to happen, then whoever they would like to stay are still going to be teaching. So I'm not sure where the disconnect's at, but I'll continue talking to districts and try to explain that part to them.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Joe. I believe you have Mr. Oh, goodness, Doug Woolliver. Woolliver. From the Alaska court system here as well to testify.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Doug Woolliver. I'm the former and currently acting Deputy Director of the Alaska court system. And I was asked to come to testify, not on this bill particularly, but on the program that the court system ran, a retirement incentive program that we did in fiscal year 17. And we did that in response, Mr. President, to your question, as a money-saving tool. And that was, we we didn't have the authority to offer early retirement because that takes a statutory change, the kind you see in this bill. But what the court system could offer was a severance package, a severance pay. And so we set up a system where if you had been working for the court system for a minimum of 10 years, and if you had been eligible to retire for at least 3 years, then we would pay you a 3 months salary as an incentive to retire. The court system is, of course, much smaller than all of state government. So the numbers we were looking at were relatively small. We had 28 people who are eligible. And which also gets, Mr. President, to your question, and you're Senator Keel, are you losing really valuable people? Well, we were able, with that small of a pool, you can look and you can say, are these positions we're likely to be able to refill? Perhaps like a district might, a smaller district. 14 people said, we want to do this. And those 14 people resulted in savings in the first year of $680,000. That's not the millions and millions you would get statewide, but for our budget, that's a significant amount of money. And of course, the next year there are savings as well. And the next year you continue to benefit from those savings for many out years. The amount starts to decrease as the positions are filled by people who start to move up in their steps and things. Nevertheless, $680,000 in 1 year was a big benefit for us. We knew the positions we were dealing with. So we knew that they were either ones we did not plan to fill again, or we knew that we could. It was a successful program. We have not offered it since, but we look at it regularly and consider that, FY17 project to be a success. And I can answer questions about what we did. It is different than this bill, but it was a very helpful tool during pretty tough budget years.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Woolver, I get why you set it up with a requirement that someone be at least 10 years of service with the court system, right? They're getting up the pay scale there, and that's where you're likely to find savings. What was the thinking behind the court system requiring that the person have been eligible to retire for 3 years already? What difference did that make to you?
Well, again, we were trying to encourage people to retire. And if you've been eligible to retire for 3 years and you haven't, perhaps you need a little encouragement. So if you're not eligible, like we can't offer early retirement, which this bill does, but so we weren't just targeting long-term people, we're targeting people who could be retiring if they just had a little extra incentive.
Okay, but that's true at 1 month post-eligibility, right? They could be retiring if they have a little extra incentive.
That's true. We went with 3 years.
Because of?
I guess, I'm not sure why we went exactly with 3 years. The idea was you've probably been thinking about it for a while now. I retired after being eligible for 2 years. But others take a little longer to come around to that. So that's just what we came up with. And probably, too, it was a look at who would fall, how many employees would fall under each option. If we did 1 month, we would have had a bigger pool. 1 year, a little bit smaller. So we were trying to also manage the loss of long-term employees, which is always, it's a double-edged sword. You save money, but you lose experience.
Thank you.
Well, thank you both. We really appreciate you coming to testify today. Seeing no other questions from the committee, I'm going to hold SB 14 until our next committee, Friday, February 10th. At that time, we will take public testimony in the bill. If you'd like to submit testimony prior to that moment, it's senate.education@akleg.gov. senate.education@akleg.gov. And we'll go over the fiscal notes at that time, with hopefully Senator Kawasaki here with us. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease so that we can transition to Senate Bill 52. we are back on the record, and we're going to try to hear Mike Mason to have him introduce Senate Bill 52.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you, Mr. Mason. If you could please, before we begin, I would like to say that this bill is sponsored by the Senate Education Committee. We're going to have committee aide Mike Mason, who is on Teams, give us a brief introduction of the bill. Also here in the audience, we have Acting Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development, Heidi Teschner, and with her is School Finance Manager Elwin Blackwell. They are available for questions. They will not be providing any public commentary, I believe, just here in case we would like to ask some additional information. With that, Mr. Mason, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Mason. I'm staff to Senator Tobin. And my apologies for not being at today's meeting in person. I've developed some cold and flu symptoms and did not want to get other people sick during this very busy time in the legislative session. I want to thank my colleague Trevor Bailey for stepping in to help the Senate Education Committee while I'm out. Senate Bill 52 is a four-line bill that would add $1,000 to the base student allocation. The committee chose the base student allocation as the mechanism to increase education funding in Alaska because of its simplicity. But more importantly, an increase to the BSA benefits every student and every school in Alaska. During public testimony on the issue of education funding, this committee heard repeatedly that a large BSA increase will breathe new life into Alaska's struggling public education system. I want to take a few moments to explain why Senate Bill 52 was written the way it is. If you look at the sectional analysis for the bill, there is some slightly unusual language for a piece of legislation. The short explanation is that SB 52 is an amendment to the Alaska Reads Act that was passed and signed into law last year. If you remember, the Alaska Reads Act included a $30 increase to the base student allocation that takes effect at the start of fiscal year 2024 on July 1, 2023. Currently, the base student allocation stands at $5,930 per eligible student. As a result of the Alaska Reads Act, the BSA will increase by $30 to $5,960 on the 1st of July. Senate Bill 52 would further increase the BSA by $1,000 up to $6,960. SB 52 mirrors the effective date of the BSA increase in the Alaska Reads Act, so the additional $1,000 increase to the BSA would take effect on July 1, 2023. If you look at the fiscal notes for SB 52, you will see that the funding mechanism for the BSA increase is a simple general fund transfer to the public education fund. The fiscal note that was prepared by Deed's School Finance Division includes a breakdown of how much additional funding Alaska school districts will receive as SB 52 is passed and signed into law. The Anchorage School District would see an increase of over $73 million. Fairbanks North Star Borough School District would receive over $23.8 million in additional funding. The Kenai Peninsula Borough School District would receive an additional $17.2 million. And the Matsu Borough School District would receive over $35.4 million in additional funding. Senator Stevens represents the Kodiak Island Borough School District, which would receive an additional $5.25 million. Over the past couple of weeks, this committee has heard compelling testimony that flat funding and inflationary pressures are degrading public education in Alaska. Parents and students are dealing with fewer education programs, staff shortages, and even the prospect of school closures. In addition, the inability to recruit and retrain teachers, the Senate Education Committee heard testimony that there are 700 vacant school support staff positions statewide. So it's not just teachers, it's support staff as well that are struggling in our education system. Funding for public education has not kept up with inflation. On January 27th, this committee heard a detailed presentation from researchers with the University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research. In 2019, Alaska spent less per pupil on public education than the national average when spending is adjusted for inflation and cost of living. The base student allocation has been largely unchanged for years. The BSA has gone up by only 4.2% since 2012. However, since 2012, costs are up 24% due to inflation. Very simply, Senate Bill 52 represents a policy choice by the members of this committee and hopefully the larger Alaska State Legislature to help Alaska's public schools address years of increasing costs. Legislative Finance estimates the cost of a $1,000 BSA increase at $257.1 million, and Senator Tobin and others believe that a $1,000 increase to the base student allocation is a fiscally responsible investment in public education. And with that, I can answer questions if needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Are there any questions from the committee? At this time, Mr. Mason, would you like to go through the fiscal notes or a sectional analysis? Although it's
I can begin with the sectional analysis. You will give me just one moment. Can I ask for a brief at ease while I pull up the sectional analysis?
Brief at ease. Mr. Mason, we are going to forego the sectional analysis as we have a good idea of what the bill does, and that we'd ask that you just go over the fiscal notes.
Yes, give me just one moment. So there are two fiscal notes for this piece of legislation. The first one is from the Department of Education and Early Development. And it's basically the allocation is the foundation program. If you look at this, SB 52 will increase the base student allocation under AS 14.17.470 by 1,000 in the public school funding formula. The BSA will change from 5,960 to 6,960 in FY 2024, resulting in a $257 million increase in funding to districts. And the bill takes effect on July 1 of 2023. As I noted earlier, the funding mechanism is a general fund transfer to the Public Education Fund, the PEF. The fiscal note effect for FY24 through FY29 is reported in the fiscal note as the funding is deposited in the PEF, not into the foundation program funding component. And if you look at the second fiscal note, which I will pull up right now, one moment. And the second fiscal note is very similar to the first one. And you can see that the increase in FY24 is $257.1 million. And then if you look into the out years of FY25, FY26, FY27, FY28, and FY29, it is the same $257.1 million increase to the base student allocation. And that's a quick overview of the two fiscal notes that are available in your packets.
Thank you. I do want to note that we do have Ms. Teschner and Mr. Blackwell here if we have any additional questions regarding funding mechanisms for anyone on the committee. Are there any questions for Mr. Mason or Ms. Blackwell or, excuse me, Mr. Blackwell or Ms. Teschner? Well, thank you. I think we'll move on to public testimony unless there's any comments that committee members like to make. All right, thank you, Mr. Mason. Next up, we will reopen public testimony for SB 52 and public funding in our schools. I would like to note that I will be ending public testimony at 5 p.m. Testifiers will have up to 3 minutes to testify. If you are unable to get your testimony on the record today, I please encourage you to email us at senate.education@akleg.gov. Just a reminder, folks, to please keep their comments civil and to not impugn the motives or characters of members of this committee or the Alaska State Legislature. Also, when speaking, if you could please clearly state your name and what your affiliation happens to be. For those who are listening in, you can call in from Anchorage at 907-563-9085. You can also call in from Juneau here at 907-586-9085. And if you are in other parts of Alaska, that is the number is 1-844-586-9085. All right. We are going to first go to, excuse me, I'm opening public testimony, and we are first going to go to the Seward LIO, where we have Dr. Henry Burns, Jr. Mr. Burns, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hello. Good morning, Madam Chair. This is Dr. Henry Burns. I'm a principal at Seward High School. I represent the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Right now, if the BSA is left alone, I would have to cut 1.0 FTE from staffing. This is in addition to an ARP position, which my teacher resigned halfway through the year, and I have a long-term sub in that position. This reduction would mean that 75% of my electives taught at my school would be cut. This means no arts, and 80% of my CTE program would be cut due to not having an increase in BSA funding. School funding is a critical issue that affects the quality of education and the future of our children. Adequate funding for schools is necessary to ensure that students have access to the resources and programs that they need to succeed. Here are some reasons why school funding is important. Providing necessary resources, adequate school funding is essential to provide students with the necessary resources to learn effectively. This includes textbooks, computers, other materials that are essential for students to succeed. Improving teacher quality. Schools that are well-funded are able to attract and retain highly qualified teachers, which leads to improved student outcomes. Closing the achievement gap. Adequate funding can help close the achievement gap between low-income students and their more affluent peers by providing the resources needed to support their learning. Preparing students for the future. A quality education is essential for preparing students for the future, ensuring that they have skills and knowledge needed to succeed in today's rapidly changing world. Overall, BSA school funding is a crucial investment in the future of our children and our society. It is essential that we advocate for student funding for schools so every student has the access to a quality education. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator, President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Burns, could you just reflect on what this would do to your student-teacher ratio? Do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, I would. It would probably increase my student ratio between 3 to 5 kids per class.
Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? All right, we're going to move on to another individual who's in the Seward LIO, Jennifer Desmira. Ms. Desmira, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Desermia. I'm from Seward. I'm representing myself and the Seward PTA. I also have a high school student and a middle school student at our area schools. So I would like to speak to supporting the increase in the BSA. As Dr. Burns said previously, it would be devastating to our area schools. We would be losing 1.5 teachers at our elementary school. Our middle school would lose 1.5 teachers. Our high school would lose 1 teacher, in addition to not being allowed to rehire that ARP position that Dr. Burns spoke of. So these are drastic cuts that will eliminate most electives and even possibly some core classes. That's more than our community can sustain. We want to provide a quality education for our students. We want to hire and retain quality teachers. We owe that to our children. And, you know, ultimately our children are the future of our community. So if we want to sustain our communities, we have to pay into this now to ensure that we retain our quality students. We're losing students to homeschool programs because we can't provide what they need in our brick and mortar classrooms. We lose quality teachers. They come to Seward, they get hired at the last minute because we haven't provided adequate funding. We haven't been able to plan for the future, but sometimes with the one-time funding, some things come through and we're able to snag some teachers at the last minute, but this is not something that they can depend on that they feel secure in and into the future. When we cannot offer contracts until later in the year, our hiring pool becomes greatly diminished. So we're having a hard time finding those quality people and retaining them in our community. So, I would like to advocate that we increase the BSA, that we stay contemporary with inflation. We haven't had an increase since 2015, except for the one-time funding scenarios, but that's not something that we can count on and plan with into the future. And I would like to advocate for forward funding education so that we're not scrambling at the last minute trying to fill empty positions. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from committee members? We will now move on to Megan Miller, also in the Seward LIO. Ms. Miller, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Megan Miller from Seward, Alaska, and I am representing Seward High School. I am the new drama advisor at Seward High School. I work with a very eager and talented group of high school students in the drama club, which they have thoughtfully named the Seward High School Theater Collective. The club is currently in the process of producing a full-length production of Cinderella at the high school with all student cast and crew. We started this project without a budget and are relying on grants and donations to produce. These brave, compassionate, creative students are excited to be offered the opportunity to express themselves in ways that have not been offered to them in over 2 years. I'm also aware that there are many other incredible students within our community who I have not yet met, and I look forward to it. One of the greatest challenges that I have heard about teaching this particular group of students is that they have very little to no follow-through, that though they have talent and passion at first, their flame burns out before the end of the term, the or project or assignment. I would like to point out that this lack of follow-through is not their problem, it is ours. It is our responsibility to provide an example for our students. By consistently providing art, music, and theater programs to our young community, we are demonstrating to our children that we believe in them. What is important to them is important to all of us. We see them. When we take away what a student cares about, we are taking away a part of them, silencing them. The last 3 years have been hard on students. They have seen a lot of things start and then taken away because of the pandemic. They lost a little faith. It is time to rebuild that faith. We have an opportunity to rebuild our students' faith in the school system by providing them with consistency in our programs. As a mother of two girls being raised in Seward, it is imperative to me that to see Seward High School, middle school, and elementary school offer an art department that grows with its students. Art 1 for freshmen, Art 2 for sophomores, Art 3, and so on. I hope to see music and choir return to the music room with the opportunity to be challenged with new skill requirements for each new term. 2 to 3 live full-length student productions performed in our theater each year. These dreams cannot happen without consistent funding required to keep faculty in place and materials in hand. Each time we take away funds, we have to rebuild. Each time we rebuild a program, we set back our students. With a small community population and limited housing in our town, we do not have the luxury to pull students into our schools, or teachers, excuse me, into our schools at the last minute. We must make teacher retention a priority in our schools for all departments. Art, music, and theater are no exception. Without art in my own high school, I may not have made it to graduation. I definitely would not have gone on to college. I know that I am not alone. All our students deserve to be heard. Our young artists deserve the right to compete along with the rest of the state, country, and even the world. It is our opportunity or responsibility to offer our children every opportunity to see their own potential. This brave, compassionate, creative student.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. If you could please wrap up your comments.
Follow through on our own assignment to provide art in schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're now going to move here in room. In the Belts room here in Juneau. Up next, we have Alex Worth. Thank you so very much. Mr. Worthmeyer, if you could please identify yourself and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 52, which would raise the base student allocation by $1,000. This is great. I have a son and a daughter that went through the Juneau education system. They got a quality education. That was in the 90s and early 2000s. My daughter went on to University of Alaska, getting a MAT and a counseling certification, now works as a elementary school counselor here in Juneau school system. Her two daughters are nearing age of going entering the school system, and I want them to have that same quality education opportunity as well as kids all through Alaska. And as we've heard, years of flat funding for the BSA combined with inflation has had a devastating effect on the efficacy of funding to meet Alaska's constitutional mandate for supporting public education. We are seeing increasing class sizes, inability to recruit and retain teachers and support staff, and even the prospect of school closures. Even this increase will not fully account for the effects of inflation, but it's a great start. And given the impact of the pandemic on student performance, it's more critical than ever to fully support our public education system. So thank you for bringing this forward and doing what you can to improve public education in Alaska.
Thank you, sir. And can you just say your name for the records?
Alex Wertheimer.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Wertheimer? Seeing none, thank you, sir. We're going to stay here in the room. And next up, we have Senator Shelley Hughes. Senator Shelley Hughes, if you could come forth. And I think you know the drill, so I'm going to let you go for it.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Education Committee. It's a delight to see you all. I'm Shelley Hughes from Palmer, Alaska, speaking as a private citizen. I wanted to give you something to consider today. And I know as a senator, I could do a special order on the floor, but that would not be on the record. And I actually do want you, as a colleague of yours, too, to consider some of these things in this particular committee rather than in the Finance Committee, because you are the ones that work on policy-related education. And in addition, I mean, you're considering the funding piece, but I'm going to be talking about policy. And as a former education chair and member of this committee, I really care about our kids. And my kids all went to public schools in this state, and things have happened where, you know, we still have excellent teachers and some just really great things happening, but we have troubling things too. And so I have my request to you is to consider two things. Number one, ensure that existing funds for our public K-12 schools, which is, I believe, over $1 billion, and any new funding increases, ensure that they are tied to accountability measures pertaining to improved learning outcomes. The second request is that you ensure that any new funding is directed to classroom instruction only, that new state dollars are not used to expand school district administrations. And while you're doing that, consider tightening up the ratio that's in our statutes for amounts that can be used for instructions versus administration for existing funds. So I could go over the list of the NAEP scores and things, but just in a nutshell, and it's not just reading, but in math too, where we only have about 25% of our Alaskan kids that are proficient at fourth grade in math and reading. And when we look at the Alaska STAR, the state assessment test that just came out, there's data that only about 1,000, fewer than 1,000 of our eighth graders in Alaska are proficient in math. And I believe it's about 10,000 students per grade level, give or take. So if it's less than 1,000, that's less than 10% of our students are proficient in math in eighth grade. So we have a problem, and we know we've been at the bottom of the barrel. So I just urge you to take this opportunity while we're talking about education, not just look at the funding, but consider the children and what can we do to make sure our students are more successful all the way up. We worked on the Alaska Reads Act, and that is a great start. But let's not be fooled. You know, it was kind of uncanny. Just about an hour or so ago, I got a text from my daughter who lives in Florida, and I have a third grade daughter there. And she took a photograph of a letter. This is the letter from the elementary school telling all the parents that their third grader would not be promoted to fourth grade unless they met certain requirements in their assessment.
Senator Hughes, if you could wrap up, please.
So I want us to understand there are things that we can do, such as ensuring we're not socially promoting children, and that we require that masters be objectives be mastered at the grade level, and address healthcare costs. That's pulling money from the classrooms, and transportation funding. Districts are pulling money from the classrooms for pupil transportation. So
I know that there's others who are online. I want to make sure we have as much time as
absolutely.
We can.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions for Senator Hughes? Senator Stevens. President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Senator Hughes. You're a longtime, very effective member of this committee, and thank you for all that service. How can you help us on the issue of tying accountability measures to money? What would you suggest there? How can we best do that?
I would take that question to educators because I think they have a lot of ideas of how best to measure improvement, and sometimes assessments aren't the only way. In fact, even in that letter from Florida, if the child didn't get a certain score on an assessment, there was a portfolio option. There are other ways to measure. So I would talk to educators how to do that. It's going to take a while before the K through third cohort and we get everything up and running and we really see the benefits of that. And the rate of improvement is not going to be like Florida and Mississippi because we still allow social promotion. But, you know, grades 4 through 12, I would really focus on those. Those are kids that are going to be walking out the door into the big world soon. And we need to do whatever we can. And I don't know exactly, Senator, through the chair, the best way to do that. But I think educators could help us with that. I know want to get it into the classroom. You know, if I've heard from educators if they knew that money could come in to be used for teachers' aides and tutors and things like that, that would help. And so simply requiring that it go to classrooms for instruction and not be used by administration. That's a marvelous way to do it as well. And we could free up some dollars too to get into the classrooms. I think some of the districts are supporting the concept of the option, not the requirement, but the option that they could join the state public employees health insurance. So those are different ways. And you know, research shows Senator, through the chair, research shows that just money giving generally to school districts does not improve academic outcomes. And we kind of know that instinctively in watching, you know, the numbers in this state. However, research does show that when money is directed to the classroom, it can result in academic improvement. And I think it's incumbent on us to make sure it goes to the classroom, considering where we stand. So I think, you know, I understand inflation, healthcare costs, and pupil transportation has chipped away at what's going into the classroom. So if we're going to look at money for education, it should be for learning improvement. It just needs to be. But I don't have the perfect solution of how to make that tie.
Well, thank you so much. Seeing no other questions from the committee, thank you so much for your testimony. Up next, we have Senator Showers. You also know the drill, so I'm going to let you take it away. Just to reflect, as we do have a three-minute time limit.
I've got it ready to go. So for the committee, I am Mike Schauer, representing myself today. I appreciate the time to come and have a chance to talk to you. Without a regular committee, this is kind of our opportunity to have some public testimony to speak to you this way with some issues. So I'm going to talk past. I'm known for that anyways, but I have a lot to go through. Some of it's complimentary to what Senator Hughes just briefed. Just a couple points, and I'm attacking this more from a numbers person. I'm not an education guy, not my lane of experience, but some things I think are important to throw out because it does drive to what I want to make the point. You know, Alaska's current, and this is coming out of this report, Alaska's current spending per pupil has exceeded the U.S. average by 23%. This is not meant to be a counter, just as another part of the discussion as you debate this. Increased spending, as Senator Hughes says, often a cure-all for lackluster education system, no matter which state's examined, but higher spending does not necessarily correlate with better outcomes. We're the sixth highest public education revenue expenditures in the nation. But as we know, when you look at the NIEP scores, in 2019, fifth lowest in fourth grade math and dead last in fourth grade reading. States like Indiana had current spending stayed constant. They were seventh highest in fourth grade math and 17th in reading. Idaho had decreasing spending. They were 15th in fourth grade math, 11th in fourth grade reading. Point being that higher spending does not necessarily give us good outcomes, as Senator Hughes highlighted. I think we all know that. This is interesting. The increased spending was not distributed equally between salaries and benefits. Salaries increased only 4% in Alaska, yet total benefits, and this is fascinating, 124%. Where's the money going? That's, I think, the point of this as I'm discussing it very quickly. The growth in our instructional benefits was dwarfed by the growth in support services. Support services include staff from a wide variety of fields, such as maintenance workers, administration, transportation. Total spending on support services increased 50% from 2002 to 2020 in Alaska. Support benefits increased 141%. Okay, so if we go a little further down into the report, general administration, which includes pay and benefits for superintendents, boards of education, and staff, grew 18%. However, high school administration, which includes expenses related to principals' offices, increased 42%. Most support services grew disproportionately compared to instructional expenditures, more than doubled from that same time period. This is all 2002 to 2020 by 107%. Getting there. Instructional expenditures, which includes salaries, benefits for teachers, textbooks, supplies, and other stuff, that went up 20%. Instructional benefits per student in Alaska went up 118%. I'm going to have to go fast here for the time, and I'll make it quick. So I'm just going to jump to the end of that. Here's my point, just because I'll run out of time trying to finish that, Madam Chair, is that when I look at this, it's not about spending money, to me, where we go. It's if the money has hooks to it, we know that we're getting performance metrics, we're going to get the bang for the buck. I can live with that. As I said on the floor earlier in a special order, what I can't live with is throwing the money at the problem without knowing what's going to happen. When you look at these statistics, what that tells us is that we're spending a lot of money, but what has happened is the teacher salaries went up almost not at all. Where the money needs to go to get the impact is the teachers and the students, but it's almost all gone to administration, support, other things. And so my point is, if we're going to do this, let's look at it in a way that's going to guarantee the money goes to where we know we get the impact, is to the students. Could possibly live with that, and I'll try to finish up. Just, you know, give me 15 seconds, and I'm done. I'm out of here. The BSA, as we know, doesn't equal money in versus out, and I think that's important because what I want to see is we focus this money on the classroom, and I just don't want to do the same thing. And we know that the study data shows us that, so let's not do the same thing. Let's direct the money into the classrooms, and I think we'll find other people. There's more agreement amongst us. Yeah, let's do that if we can, and I'm just going to have to stop there because I'm out of time, and I appreciate the committee giving me a chance to come in and speak. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Questions for Senator Shower? Thank you, sir. Once again, I'm just going to do a time check for folks. We have several folks that are online, and I know we're not going to get to everyone. So please send written testimony, if we are unable to get to you, to senate.education@akleg.gov. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. We're going to move back to Anchorage. Lem Wells? Wheels. Thank you. Lem Wheels. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair, President Stevens, and the rest of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Lem Wheelis, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I grew up in Anchorage and graduated from A.J. Diamond High School, where I met my wife, Lindsay. I used my UA Scholars Scholarship to earn a BA in Political Science and then a Master of Arts in Teaching from UAA. I then returned to Diamond High, where I have taught U.S. government and history for 19 years. Our two daughters are currently a freshman and a senior at Diamond. Suffice to say, I am a product of the public education system in Alaska and highly invested in it. I'm appearing before you today to testify in support of SB 52. Alaska schools are in dire need of a significant increase at the BSA, and the $1,000 increase proposed in SB 52 would go a long way toward correcting the damage done by flat funding for the last several years. I have enjoyed working at one of the best high schools in Alaska over the past two decades. However, in the past 4 years, our school has lost a third of its FTE due to budget cuts, and I've watched more than half of my colleagues leave and be replaced. And in talking to them as they've departed, I've heard three common reasons: increasing workloads, inadequate wage increases relative to inflation, and a lack of a pension. I'd like to briefly address each of these today. The past few years have been hands down the hardest of my career. First, there was the year of the earthquake. Then the next 2 years, it was the pandemic, requiring major adjustments to how we teach and how we support students through unprecedented anxiety, depression, illness, and uncertainty. This year, things are starting to get back to normal, but class sizes have increased year after year due to budget shortfalls caused mostly by flat funding of the BSA. Even with the federal COVID funds, rising costs due to inflation have meant fewer teachers, which means larger class sizes, which means more papers to grade, and ultimately more work for every educator. Meanwhile, educator wages have not kept pace with inflation. The last several years, I've seen raises of 1 to 2% a year against inflation rates of 3 to 9% a year. Regardless, my real wages have decreased every year, even as my district gives me more students to teach. Other professionals get raises when they're given more responsibility in their job. Teachers are told, do more with less, as if that's even possible. Finally, while I'm fortunate to have been hired in 2004 and have a defined benefit plan myself, most of my colleagues do not. More than half of all teachers in Alaska are in TERS Tier 3, with neither guaranteed pension nor Social Security as an option. We call it the death tier, as you essentially have to work until you die or risk running out of money in retirement. This has to change. Senators, I'm tired of seeing great educators leave my school, my district, and our state because we're not investing adequately in our schools. I applaud you for taking the lead on a BSA increase, and I hope you'll work with your colleagues in the House to get this bill passed and a meaningful increase to the BSA for the first time in years to the governor's desk. It's time that we invest in education. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the committee?
I'm sure.
President Stevens.
I won't take time. I know we're short of time, but I would ask Len Wheelis, who I have great respect for, if he and other teachers who call in, if they can give us some of these accountability measures that others are talking about. Are there some accountability measures that make sense that tie that money to some specific issues? Thank you.
Mr. Wheelis, do you want to try to address that question?
Madam Chair, and through the chair to Senator Stevens, I appreciate the opportunity. It's a really challenging question. By the time I see students as juniors and seniors in high school, you have year upon year upon year potentially of deficiencies, as the NAEP scores may show, which means that, I can provide a year's worth of growth in my year with them, but I'm building off of a faulty foundation sometimes. And so it's very tricky to find that. We have quality educators, and the more things we stack on top of them to do, the harder it is for them to do the most important thing, which is connect with students. And you heard Senator Schauer and Senator Hughes talking about, get the money to the classroom, invest in our classroom teachers. That's exactly what we need to do. Not another test, not another statewide or district program that's just going to take away from me interacting with my students and making the difference that I, the professional, can do. That's what we need.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. We next have Brandy Hardy in Fairbanks. Brandy, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Brandy Hardy, and I'm a lifelong resident of Fairbanks, a proud product of its public schools. I'm a mom of two elementary age students enrolled in our public schools. I'm a certified special and elementary education teacher, and I'm also a current member of our local school board. My husband is a civilian medevac pilot and member of the Alaska Air Guard. As an aviator, we had many options when it came to choose where we wanted to raise our family. He was not originally from Alaska, but due to the excellent education I was afforded as a student here and the access to our world-class recreation, we chose to raise our family here in Fairbanks. However, that choice to remain in Alaska becomes harder to make every year. As both the product of our local schools, an educator in them, and now a parent, I've had a front row seat to the steady decline in services and quality of education offerings due to the several years of flat funding in our schools. As a child, I had a robust offering of music, art, and after-school sports and activities. I came from a low-income home. I accessed our free and reduced lunch program and was still able to play the drums starting in third grade, learn the fundamentals of art from amazing teachers, and be a member of a competitive jump rope team started by our PE teacher. And all of that was just in elementary school. It was this amazing world-class education that inspired me to become a teacher myself. The current reality of our schools stand in stark contrast to what I received as a student 30 years ago. The school where I attended elementary, Joy School, was closed last year due to budget cuts. The elementary art program I remember so fondly was eliminated last year as well. There's no orchestra or band in our elementary school. Programs like my jump rope team
are few and far between because we cannot pay our educators well enough for the additional contract hours needed to sustain them. In short, my own children are receiving an education nowhere near the caliber I did here in Alaska. The proposed $1,000 BSA increase is an excellent start, but even an increase of that size will just cover current programs and PTR without providing any needed funds to bring back what was lost or provide meaningful and well-deserved pay increases to our educators. Alaska has a teacher and retention problem, and we will not be able to find staff for our schools without being willing to invest in our educators, both through salary and retirement. I thank you for your time and commitment to Alaska and its students. Please know that the decisions you are making here today will have a profound impact on every community in Alaska.
Thank you, Ms. Hardy. Any questions from the committee? Moving on to North Pole, Barbara Tindall. Barbara, if you could please identify yourself and begin your testimony when you are ready.
My name is Barbara Tindall. I'm from North Pole. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. And I just want to say good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity to testify to this committee concerning funding for Alaska schools. Funding for education takes up much of the state budget, and it seems to get higher every year in spite of the shrinking school population and the outcomes. I don't begrudge spending money for education of our children and or young people. What I object to is the quality of the service and product we as Alaska citizens are receiving. And as folks are lining up to ask for their piece of the pie, I urge you to take a serious look at the product they are producing. Not everything that is funded is beneficial or even necessary towards educating our kids. And for these reasons, I'm against raising the BSA. And I just really applaud Senator Hughes talking about accountability and outcomes. Dollars do not guarantee us outcomes. And until we can take what we already have and readjust that and direct it to the classrooms and the kids, I can't see throwing more money at it, because that's no incentive for anyone to improve the process. And I also applaud her and would echo that we need no more funding for administration. That needs to go down. That needs to go, a lot of it needs to go away. And we need it directed to the classroom. So I just want to finish by saying, focus your tax dollars on boots on the ground, teaching staff and kids, and pull back from those things that we can do without. And it is a tragedy what's happened to Alaska's education. I raised five children here, and it wasn't perfect, but they got a good education, and four of them have finished their college education, some for higher degrees. So I applaud the effort, but I am against raising this BSA until we can see better outcomes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Once again, for those who are calling in, we might not be able to get to you, so I ask you to please submit your testimony at senate.education@akleg.gov. Also, for those of you who are reading testimony, if you could please submit that also via senate.education@akleg.gov. I know our recorders would greatly appreciate it. We'll be moving to Fairbanks next, Kelly Nash. Kelly, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Kelly Nash, and I'm calling on behalf of myself and my students. Thank you for doing this, first of all. I want to start off with that. I'm also against raising the BSA. I have a child in ninth grade right now, and since she's been in school, I've had issues with, the teachers. I'm not a teacher, so, I've had issues with them teaching her how to independent study. It's always been grouped, And then we had COVID, and now here she is in ninth grade. We're having a hard time with that. We're spending a lot of money. There's three different places that these kids can turn money into, turn their schoolwork into. We have propaganda in every single school. I get calls from all over the city of Fairbanks from parents, and I've seen it myself. I've actually spoken to them. We have propaganda in the schools. We have teachers, substitute teachers that are long-term substitute teachers using the classroom as a stage for their political beliefs. We have teachers and we have librarians that like to spend all day long on Facebook. I happen to have moles in many groups. I have hundreds of screenshots of their conversations that I will definitely forward them all to you. I am also a business owner, and I know that if my quality of work wasn't where it should be, I would not be getting paid what I get paid. So I remember a time when we didn't have to deal with all this. There wasn't Google Classroom. There wasn't, you know, PowerSchool. There wasn't all this other stuff. There was just learning, and that's all it is. And that's not what it is anymore. And I don't know when that got, where that got lost, because I have a 24-year-old daughter also who did very well here in Fairbanks at school, and all of a sudden it flipped. I think before any money is given anymore to anything, money is not going to solve the problem. I also know that the reason a lot of teachers left is because of the mask mandate. They got fired or they quit their job. So everyone needs to reflect on all that. Not only that, but all the talk about the COVID vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. There are many, many issues here, many. Now, I was in sports when I was in high school. It was great, but there's also, you know, clubs outside of school that, you know, that don't cost a lot, that you can enjoy without having to have the schools pay for it. I don't think, and all these clubs that, you know, that are all over the schools, you know, they don't need to be there. Get rid of it. Focus on teaching. Get rid of the teachers that are using the, you know, classroom as their stage, and teachers that actually care. My daughter has a couple right now, and I absolutely adore them. But there are a lot that do not, absolutely do not. And that's all I have to say. I do not support the increase.
Thank you, Ms. Nash, for your public commentary. We next are moving to Delta Junction. Margaret Mullins. Margaret, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yes. My name is Margaret Mullins. I go by Margie. I came to Alaska in 1952 up the Alaska Highway with seven siblings. Mom and Dad had two more. We lived in Delta Junction because there was no school there. We didn't have running water or electricity. We went on base Fort Greeley. The state had an arrangement that if the base provided the land, they would provide the building and the teachers. And it was a wonderful arrangement. We got an excellent education. And I have been appalled to see what children are learning nowadays that is so uneducation. The prior lady, I'm sorry I missed her name, but she was absolutely right on when she said that it's not education that's being given out, but misinformation and political agenda. And kids are being taught to accept what is absolutely insanity thinking instead of rational, cogent education that can be applicable to life skills, to home skills, to marital skills. This woke agenda that is creeping into our nation, I am so concerned that with this upping of the funds, I'm concerned, number one, about where is it going to come from? Is it going to come from the dividends? If it's coming from the dividend, that means everybody who homeschools, who relies on that, they will be robbed of their kids. Old-timers who, and people across the state who are survivalist or minimalist livers who have relied on the dividend, if this robs the dividend, you could have a phenomenal amount of people struggling massively. So where is this $250 million, a phenomenal, huge amount, where is it coming from? I'd also like to say that there have been some phenomenally good teachers who, as the prior lady said, lost their jobs, though they were excellent with the kids, loved by the kids, had excellent powers of conveying difficult concepts, education. They lost their jobs because they wouldn't get the jab or they wouldn't wear the mask. So much of our funds are being misdirected because of these issues which the prior lady spoke of, and I totally agree with her position. And I would like to say I am headed towards 80. I'm over 70. But I know so many people across the state who believe, as I do, that until our schools start educating and stop culturalizing and misculturalizing, the money is a total loss. and a robber to every Alaskan and to every student and teacher, and good teachers as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony today. We are moving now to Fairbanks, Melissa Burnett. Melissa, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, good evening. My name is Melissa Burnett. I'm a mom of three kids here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. I'm also currently a member of the Board of Education for the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. I am calling in support of this bill, SB 52, for the increase of the base student allocation. Education as a whole is currently suffering. School districts are facing drastic measures statewide when it comes to their budgets, closing of schools, losing valuable and much-needed teachers and support staff. Statewide teacher retention and recruitment is struggling. This year, the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District is facing cuts to our teaching staff, our support staff, our safety and library assistants, our curriculum, just to name a few. And last year, we closed three schools. Without properly funding education and increasing this BSA, our education and our test scores will continue to dwindle as teachers will continue to leave as they're doing. Our PTR will continue to rise. We have amazing educators here, amazing quality educators, and I really want to keep them. They believe in Fairbanks, we believe in providing an excellent, equitable education in a safe and supportive environment so that all students will succeed, a belief that every year is getting harder and harder to believe due to the cuts and budget problems we are facing with the loss of revenue. We have amazing teachers. We have amazing programs. And to cut them further is a disservice not only to our community, but to our children, who, honestly, will one day maybe sit in the very seats which you currently are holding. The Alaska Constitution, Article 7, Section 1 states, the legislature shall maintain the public schools. Please don't make the same mistake for short-selling the future of Alaska. We need this. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony today. Our last online testifier will be Jenna Fabian from Nikiski. For those who have not been able to get in online, please email your testimony to senate.education@akleg.gov. senate.education@akleg.gov. Jenna, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, good afternoon. I am Jenna Fabian, current principal of Nikiski North Star Elementary on the Kenai Peninsula. I'm also a current board secretary for the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals. And I'm also a proud parent of two children that attend schools within the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I am calling in to advocate for increasing the base student allocation to essentially make up for the impact of inflation after 6 years of flat funding. We know that inflation is evident, and we are really seeing these negative impacts everywhere, especially in our buildings, from heating costs to the rising price of supplies and really the challenges that Alaska faces with regard to shipping costs. Ultimately, it all adds up. I'm very concerned about the teacher and really overall staff retention, and really that's paramount. Our schools are currently staffed with certified professionals that really have decades of training. They know our community, they know our students, and they choose to show up each day in support of our most important resource, the kids. As these cuts occur, they continue to work with less, which has the potential to increase the amount of certified professionals leaving the education field. Just that burnout, it's a real thing. It's critical that we keep our experts in the building while really maintaining appropriate pupil-teacher ratios. That consistent, stable staffing in buildings, not only does it support the academic progress, but also it really supports the safety, security, and well-being aspect of any school. These staff know the students, and they're able to identify concerns, things that might be off or may not make sense. Our students, they deserve an extraordinary educational experience, and ensuring that we have consistent staff each year, it has a direct impact on their well-being and success. I know it sounds cliche, but our students are our future. Raising the BSA will allow school districts to ensure staffing and programs that really support a variety of diverse educational experiences that not only enrich our students, but they also expose our students to a variety of career pathways that students wouldn't otherwise know exist. You know, you take any community in Alaska, look at how many people are in need of electricians, plumbers, all of these positions that are essentially fizzling out. So ensuring that we have a firm support of programs that will, you know, introduce students to new career pathways is essential. Lack of stable funding to education would ultimately equate to my site losing at least 1.5 FTE. This cut is crippling.
Please wrap up your comments.
So I could go on. I will go ahead and email the committee with a couple of other concerns. But really just we cannot afford to have these cuts. The students really are our future. And so I thank you for listening and considering how important it is to increase that base student allocation as SB 52 is directly investing in Alaska's future. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your service to our children. Our last testifier during this open public commentary period will be Lon Garrison. Lon, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yes, Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Lon Garrison. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 52 and support of that bill. ASB's Resolution 2.2, urging early, adequate, equitable, and predictable funding of public education, supports Senate Bill 52, which specified an increase of not less than $860 in that resolution. ASB has just finished its annual legislative fly-in and Youth Advocacy Institute, which was attended by 170 school board members, students, and superintendents. Some of the most compelling stories and testimony we heard recently was from students that described the loss of learning opportunities of those programs or activities that build strong connections between the school and their commitment to learning. So for that reason, and for all the reasons that you heard for the previous testimony, the Association of Alaska School Board strongly supports the passage of Senate Bill 52 and the increase in the base student allocation. Thank you.
Yes, sir. With that, I am closing public testimony. I know there were many individuals who were very passionate about this subject, and I asked them to please submit their public comments to Senate Education email address, which is senate.education@akleg.gov. That concludes our bill hearing for today. I will be setting an amendment deadline for Senate Bill 52 Friday, end of business. That's February 10th, end of business. If you have any amendments to the bill, please work with my office to get them drafted. As seeing there's no other business today, I'm going to adjourn the Senate Education Committee at 4:54 p.m.